Turn to your neighbor and say, flip your table. Who likes flipping tables? Nobody likes flipping tables? You know how, like, sometimes, like, you just, like, you, I don't know. For me, I have this, like, weird thing. Like, if there's something that is, like, not that valuable, I'm like, and you smash it, it feels so good. You know what I mean? No? Does anybody have that? No? Okay. It's fine. It's fine. That's just me. But yeah, why flipping tables, man? Is there something in the Bible about flipping tables? Jesus? Well, Jesus is in the Bible. Flipping tables, right? So, if you have your Bible, which I hope you do, because the Word of God reveals God, and it's important to read it. Amen? If you don't read the Word of God, I don't know if you're really seeking God. Truth or false? No, it's truth, man. All right. John 2:13. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 14. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. Verse 15. And making a whip of cords. Man, if Jesus made a whip, like, imagine how good it was, how perfect it was. That thing would hurt. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. Overturned. I mean, flipped the tables, basically, right? John 2:16. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Also in Mark 11:17, it talks about the same story. And it says, and he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you. Lord, we open up our hearts before you, God. We ask that you would speak to us today, that this word would be just planted in good soil. Lord, prepare the soil of our hearts, that the seed may go in and produce fruit, God. We pray that you would bless this word, bless our ears, let us have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, Lord, let all the distractions be gone, Lord. I ask those who need comfort will be comforted. Those who need peace will get peace. Those who need joy will receive their joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been robbed? Well, that's getting robbed pretty good, right? Have you ever gotten ripped off by someone? Oh, yeah? Like, yo, check out this car, clean title, nothing's wrong with it. And then you find out, oh, salvage title, it needs, like, a whole new engine. You know what I mean? Well, that's for guys. I don't know about girls. I don't know if you guys can get ripped off makeup, or I don't know how it works. Hey, I don't know, expensive makeup. I hear the prices are outrageous. But have you ever been, like, ripped off where, like, someone stole something for you? And, like, it's one of the most, like, horrible feelings. Agreed or not agreed? Yeah. Someone steals, like, you get your wallet stolen. You're like, man, you know what? Bless that person. Is that the first thing you think to yourself? No, like, you just got robbed of something that was yours. Of something that you, especially if it's something you treasured, especially if it's something you valued. Everybody can remember a story, yeah? I'm sure. Man, one time it was so funny. I was going to share a testimony. We'll do that later. But one time, me and my cousin were sitting out here in the parking lot. And this homeless guy comes up to me. I'm like, you know, I start, like, just, like, talking with him, loving on him. He's like, can you give me a ride? And I'm like, I'm kind of debating because this is a homeless guy. I have no idea if he's going to, like, not, like, I'm not even trying to be prejudgmental. I'm like, you know, street smart. You got to be safe. And I'm like, I don't know if I should give him a ride. Like, I have all my stuff. I have my wallet and everything. And he was like kind of a young guy, so you know, you don't know what to expect. And he just opens my door, gets in my car. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I never do this. I never do this. He's like, I'm like, do you have anything on you right now? He's like, nah, bro, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I'm like, let's go. Like, by faith, I'm hoping this guy isn't like gonna, you know, pull a knife at me or something. So anyways, we're all driving and you know, I tried just to encourage him and like preach the gospel to him. And I drop him off where he needs to be, and like I start driving, and I'm like, dude, where's my wallet? Yes. I'm driving off, and I'm like, wait, I pull into the parking lot. I'm like, I'm already like a nice probably mile away from this guy, and I start checking my pockets and everything, and I'm like, yo, I have my ID, I have to redo my credit cards, I have to freeze them, I have to do all this stuff. Who cares about the money? Like, my identity is going to get stolen, you know what I mean? And then I checked my backpack, and it was in my backpack. But like that feeling of getting something stolen. Like I think oftentimes even the enemy will like you feel like you lost something, but the enemy simply deceives you and says, you know, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. He's like, did God really say, you know? He starts questioning, did God really give this to you? Did God took this away from you, you know? Like the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah or no? Does God kill, steal, and destroy? God is good, amen? So Jesus, in this story, comes into the temple, and this is the scene. People are just chilling. Like, so it was the Passover, so people would be buying, you know, sheep and things to offer to the Lord to sacrifice, right? And there's people just like their own people and people from other nations just sitting there and ripping each other off, cheating each other, robbing each other. Like, have you ever paid for something that's overpriced and you're like, man, I just got robbed? Yeah? But these were like their brothers and sisters, their own nation and other nations, and they were just starting to rob each other. And not just rob each other, but in the temple. In the temple. Making it a marketplace. Money being counted. So, you know, people would come with their money and they're like, you know, I'm going to give you, basically, you want to trade my $5 for that dollar? Or the other way, right? You want to trade my dollar for your $5? And people would just get ripped off. So in this story, right? The temple becomes a place of a market and a place where there's a den of robbers. So what does Jesus do? I think this is the first time we see Jesus just full on, like, just explode with righteous anger. No, I mean, we explode with anger, but it's not always righteous, you know what I mean? Like, put their heads down. Yeah, I know what I mean. So Jesus is filled with such righteous zeal because this place, this temple, is meant to be a place where people connect with God, where people communicate with God, where people have a relationship with God. But instead, people are robbing each other. People are getting stolen from. There's dishonesty. There's disloyalty. So what does Jesus do? He starts cleaning the temple. He sees the mess and he doesn't necessarily react, but he responds. You know, sometimes we react to our problems. It's a different thing to respond to a problem. We can react, oh man, this situation sucks. I'm just going to be like a Debbie Downer. I'm not, but there's another thing. Yes, this situation sucks, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to clean that mess. And notice this was not the mess that Jesus caused. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, it's not my mess. I'm not going to worry about it. Been there, done that, yeah? Oh, it doesn't concern me. But this was like, Jesus, this is my Father's house. And even as the body of Christ, we should be concerned for each other. Amen? Each other's messes. We should be concerned. Because we have a relationship with one another. So what Jesus starts flipping tables. Flipping tables. Yeah? Jesus starts flipping tables where people counted money. Why? Because those tables were probably where people were getting cheated on. Right? Money being counted. All these things are happening. People buying, like a lamb like for $600 or something, you know? Something ridiculous. And Jesus starts cleaning the temple. You know, and he did it out of love towards the Father, because it was his temple where people connected with God. He did it out of love. Like, he was had righteous zeal, but he did it out of love. Because this was a place where people connected with God. Jesus drove out all the robbers, all the unclean things, because the temple was a house of prayer. A house where people talk to God. Do you know what the devil wants to rob you of? What the enemy wants to rob you of? Joy? He wants to rob you of, just hinder you from talking with God. Hinder you from having a relationship with God. He came to kill. Once he had, he can kill your joy, steal, but he's going to try to hinder you so much where your house of prayer, come on, your secret place, your heart has a den of robbers, has something that is stealing something that belongs to God. A den of robbers. So where dishonesty is happening, where the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you ever jealous? No? Maybe? Is it always right? Never right, huh? But God is jealous for you, huh? God is so jealous for you. He's like, I don't want anything in your life to rob you of having a relationship with me. I don't want anything to hinder you from having intimate closeness and relationship with me. Like, he's jealous for you. He doesn't want lesser lovers. He doesn't want some side chick in your life. He doesn't. But how oftentimes do we have side things in our life? Can I have an entree with a side? How many times do we have something on the side of God? We're like, God, when I don't come to you, I come to this thing. Ooh. When I feel empty, God, yeah, sometimes I come to you, but I got this other thing I do too. God bought you with a price. You know, oftentimes we're like, oh, God bought me. That means I'm not my own. I can't do what I want. But did you know, have a way different perspective about this. God bought you out of slavery. Out of slavery. So you're like, well, if God bought me, I'm just a slave. Yeah, you're out of slavery, but now you're a slave to righteousness, which is essentially freedom. Amen? He didn't just buy you, but he bought you out of slavery. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Wait, does that mean if we've been set free, we can submit to the yoke of slavery again? If it's mentioned like that, right? Could it be something's trying to rob us again? Could it be something is trying to kill something in us? Something is trying to steal or destroy? But we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus lives in us, in our hearts. But like, my question for all of you today, not just for a select few, for everybody, are there things in your life and things in your heart that are robbing you or cheating you? Is there something that is happening that you just know is dishonest? That is, it's like ultimately you think it might be benefiting you, but it's cheating you. Like, think about these people who were selling stuff, they were trying to benefit themselves, right? But is that benefit, that turned around on them real quick. Like, could there be something in your heart, in your life, that you think you're benefiting from, but it actually is dishonest and it's stealing from you? Because there's a war in your heart. There's a war in your mind. There's a spiritual battle we all have. Are there things that are hindering you from connecting with God? Where it is meant to be, like, where it's meant to be a house of prayer, where it's meant for you to talk to God, but it's become a den of thieves. You know what a thief can be? This is going to hit some of y'all. Instagram. Like, for real, Instagram can be a thief. Addiction can be a thief. Sin can be a thief. They're all thieves. Sin is always a thief. Addiction's always a thief, unless you're addicted to Jesus. Come on, right? But sin, or hey, coffee helps me connect with the Lord, so it's all good. Amen. Come on. Excuses. Nah, man. If you can stay more awake with the Lord, come on. It's good. It's good. But are those things stealing something in you? Are they stealing? Are they hindering something from you connecting to God? Like, I'm sure if you just like, Holy Spirit, can you reveal that to me? Oh, He'll reveal it to you. Like, man, like, today was so hard talking to God. Like, I just had so many people texting me. I just had to reply. And like, unawarely, like, we allow these things to steal from us. God's like, I have something prepared for you in the secret place. I have something I want to give you. I want to comfort you. I want to settle your soul. Put your phone down. John 2:16. So Jesus found this mess, and what does He say? And He told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of trade. Verse 17, His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume Me. Are we called to be conformed to the Son? Yes, no? Are we called to be like Jesus? Yes, come on. We're not a dead church, we're a live church. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Are we called to be like Jesus? Somebody say amen. Amen. If you don't say amen, I don't know what you're agreeing with. Silence says something too. Ooh. But we are to be like Jesus. So if we're to be like Jesus, and we see a mess that is stealing from people, that is robbing us, shouldn't we burn with the same zeal He did? Are you zealous for the Lord? Johnny, what does zealous mean? Such a spiritual word. Are you so caught up with God and the fear of God that you just despise anything that steals from him, anything that dishonors him. Or do you have this righteous anger like, this belongs to God? Amen? Who else has a definition of zealous? Fanatic? F-I-N-A. Fanatic. Someone who is zealous for the Lord. That means they don't care what people think, but they are just going after what's God's and what belongs to God. They see something, wow, that belongs to God. I'm taking it back from the enemy. Amen? Like there's things the enemy takes that belongs to God, and you got to be zealous for them. Like I'm not even talking about other people right now. I'm not even talking about other things. Like you got to be zealous for yourself. Zealous for the things that are meant to be God's in your life, but they're not. You're like, no, I need to get this back for me because this is God and God is in me. This belongs to God. We have to be zealous for ourselves. You guys get what I'm saying? Like, are you zealous? Like, not even for other people. Like, that will come. But are you zealous for your own life? You're like, this belongs to God and I'm like taking it with force. I'm flipping that table. I'm flipping that table. Like, are you willing to be zealous for your own life? This is the awesome part. Are you willing to drive out? Say, drive out.
Drive out.
Not drive out to the sunset. Are you willing to drive out the things that have been robbing and cheating you in your secret place, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with Jesus? Like, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But do you allow little foxes? You guys know? I don't know the passage, but it talks about little foxes in the Bible that come and destroy the vine. Someone can pull that up. So it's in the Bible, I promise. You know, like you know the Bible, but you don't know the references, and people are like, oh, you, I don't know, man. But there's little foxes. Are little foxes like, man, you would never think they could destroy a vine, right? Oh, a cute little fox, I want a pet. You know, like, come in. But oftentimes, those things that rob us start like little foxes. They seem harmless. Oh, it's kind of cute. Song of Solomon, 2:15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Amen. Like, we, you know, like, sin is not going to go like, bro, sin right now, here's it, straight up, raw. Raw. Heavy, wild, right there. No. It starts with a little compromise. They're like, oh, this little fox, come. Let me give you some water. And this little fox, what does it say? What does God call us to do? Abide in him, right?
Yeah.
Abide in the vine. In the vine. And these little foxes have come to destroy your relationship with God. Those little things, those little compromises, you're like, man, nobody's going to notice that. Nobody's going to notice that I was a little dishonest right there. Nobody's going to notice that I did this when nobody was looking. Nobody's going to know. Like, it's okay. It's a cute little thing. Mischievous. But it starts with the little foxes. And if you do not stop those little foxes, they start to grow. They start to grow. Yeah, that's right. Little foxes. Are you willing to flip the tables that have been used as platforms for selfish gain? Oh. Are you willing to flip the table? I don't even have to give credit to anyone for that one. That's from the Lord. Are you willing to flip the tables that have been platforms for selfish gain? Like, what have you been using for selfish gain? There's a lot of platforms in this life. A lot of platforms. Something's got to flip. Amen? Yes, sir. Come on. Something's got to flip. Something's got to turn around. It's got to break. It's got to change. Amen? It's like something's got to change. Like, as long as you... check this out. If you're selling something, the longer you have that table set up, the more likely you're going to do more work, right? Earn more. Yeah? Like, you have a table set up. Yo, I'm selling these Ray-Bans. They authentic. They genuine.
$2.
I got you, fam. Right? And the longer you have your table set up, the more work that gets done. So the longer you have that platform set up, the more you allow it to affect your life. The more the selfish gain grows, the more the pride grows. Guess what? Depression, anxiety, the more you allow that table to be set up in your life, the more it does its work. The more pity you... pity is a big one. Like, man, nobody loves me. Pity party. Like, I know what pity... I feel like everybody knows what pity feels like, right? But did you know how, like, self-pity is so selfish, actually? Why? Because, like, I feel like this. I do this. I do this one. Me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? Selfish. And the longer you have your little pity party table, the longer, like, you just indulge and you go, you dig yourself a hole. Like, I'm not trying to, like, condemn. Like, God wants you to flip those tables. God wants you to surrender those areas in your life. God wants to take those little foxes and, like, throw them out of the garden. Throw them out. He wants to take those things that are hindering you from connecting with Him. He wants to drive them out. He wants to whip them out. Like, He's violent. He's jealous for you. Like, do you realize how jealous He is for you? Like, how great and merciful, how gracious our God that He is jealous for you. Like, a holy God that is jealous. He, like, wants your heart. He desires you. He desires you to bring Him glory. For creation was created to bring God glory. Like, He's so jealous for you. And it breaks His heart when He sees that little things, little lesser lovers are just nibbling at you. Where you're meant to live a life and a life abundant unto Him, you're getting robbed. You're getting stolen from. The enemy is stealing from you. Like, God says, goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of your life. Like, that's a promise. But that means, Lord, you are my shepherd. That means you're not following a different shepherd. You're not following a lesser lover. You're not following this little thing. Like, you know how strain happens? Like, it doesn't happen like, I'ma just jump over the fence and I'm like going on onto the town. Like, strain, it happens by a little bit. Like, okay, you start, I'm like, Jesus, you're so wonderful. And then you start like catching a little eye. Gotcha. Okay. It starts by little. It starts by little. And eventually you're like, hey, God. Okay, yeah. And God wants to realign your focus today, even. Maybe some of you have been focusing on the wrong things in your life. Like, I'm not even talking, not everything has to be bad. Right? Not everything has to be bad. If God is not the priority, that means something is. And if that something is the priority, then it's taking God's place. And if it's taking God's place, that means it is robbing something. That means it is stealing something. Do you guys get me? Yeah? This is a word for me too. Like, I gotta burn those little foxes, man. Make some coats out of them, you know? Jesus wants to get rid of, He wants to drive out everything that makes you farther from Him. Amen? Will you let Him cleanse and sanctify you? Like, he cleansed the temple. Will you allow him to cleanse you of those things? Like, he's so zealous to have the Father's things belong to the Father. He's so zealous. And you belong to the Father. You belong to Jesus. That's such a, like, encouragement. You belong to someone. We once didn't belong to anyone. We once belonged to the kingdom of darkness, but now we belong to the kingdom of light. Now we're citizens of heaven. That's good news. Like, Jesus is so zealous for you to be the Father's. Will you allow him to cleanse you? Get rid of, drive out everything that is belongs to him. Right? That's been stealing from you. Will you allow him? You know what cleanses us? His blood and word. His blood makes us white as snow again. It restores us. And his word sanctifies us. Let me get you some scripture on that. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, can I also have keyboard come up? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Like, if we say, like, nah, I got everything taken care of, like, I still haven't, like, that sin, it's okay. Like, I'll get rid of it later. Like, or we're saying, no, I don't got a problem. Like, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all, what? Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. John 17:17 says, Father, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is what? Truth. Know the truth, and the truth what? Will set you free. Will set you free. Like, these little foxes, these little things that are hindering you, that's not freedom. That's stealing. That's robbing you. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because why? The truth sanctifies us. The truth says, Jesus is enough for me. I don't need these lesser lovers. I don't need these little foxes. I don't need these tables for selfish gain. I don't need them. Time to flip those tables. What do you got to flip today? What do you have to flip today? Maybe it's your pride. Flip your table of pride. Where it's like, man, like, you know, I care about what people think. That's prideful, man. You're just trying to establish, you know, we should care about our reputation, but unto God. Because if our reputation unto God is good, guess what? Don't worry about people. It'll be good. But like, we have our table set up, whether it be pride, whether it be selfish gain, whether it be greed, whether it be lust. You know, you can have a table set up for lust, where you just exchange. You're like, yes, I like it, I like it. And it's actually robbing you. Because God has so much better. He has a table prepared where you sit with Jesus. In the presence of your enemies. Though these things might be around you, if you're sitting at a table with Jesus, it's enough. That's all that matters. Amen? Let's rise to our feet. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you guys as well. I'll pray for myself because we all need prayer. But right now, just before the Lord, like, close your eyes. Say, Jesus, I want to become zealous for you again. I want to be zealous for the things that belong to the Father, that belong to you, God. God, you see the tables I have set up. You see what's been robbing me, what lesser lovers, what little foxes I've allowed in my life. Lord, and I pray that I would literally flip those tables, that I would overturn them, that I would change something in my life, that I would repent. Lord, that these things would leave my life. And whatever that may be for your life, just present it before the Lord and say, God, help me. Help me with this. I want my gaze to be upon you again. I want this temple to be clean again. Jesus, sanctify me with your blood and with your word. For your word is truth, and the truth sets me free. Jesus, you're the truth. Lord, we thank you for your blood and your body and your word. We thank you, God, that you always come, that you're always after us, that you're jealous for us, God, that you're zealous for us, Lord, that the things that belong in our life to you, Lord, you're zealous for. And us, Lord, we all of us belongs to you, God, all of us. Lord, so we pray right now, all those things that have been robbing our house of prayer, Lord, our communication, our relationship with you, that have been distracting us, that we've allowed to destroy the vine, God. We pray right now, Lord, that we would be able to rid these things, that we would drive them out of our life. Jesus, we ask that you would drive those things out of our life. Lord, we thank you. That, Lord, what we ask in your name, you do, Lord, and that you have saved us for freedom. Freedom in you, freedom in your grace, Lord. Freedom to live like the Son, God. Freedom to do righteousness, Lord. I thank you that you bought us out of slavery, Lord. And I pray for every single person here that they would just strengthen their relationship with you, that they would just strengthen their communication with you, that they would just strengthen that intimacy, God, that they would not allow anything that hinders that relationship with you, Lord, but that they would be zealous for the things of God.